It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for The Game on ESPN 1400. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region and hear from the coaches and players involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories. Now, let's get to The Game and join your host, Scott Nason.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to The Game on ESPN 1400. You can also hear our show online at 1400ESPN.net and podcasts available at thegamesportshow.podbean.com. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting from our ESPN 1400 studios in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, on this Monday, August 30th, 2021. The Game, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. We'll be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight. And coming up around 6:15, we'll be talking to the commissioner of the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, Chris Dunbar. Will join us once again on The Game as the college sports season is beginning. We'll also talk to Butch Davis, co-host of The Game and host of Butch on Sports, around 6:45, as Butch will get us up to date on what's going on in the Metro Detroit sports scene. And Butch will join us for the entire second hour for our sports roundtable. But we have a lot of local sports to cover. We'll cover it for the first 15 minutes, and then after the interview with Chris Dunbar, as the beginning of the high school football season kicked off this past weekend across the state of Michigan. And here in the Eastern Upper Peninsula, with COVID-19 delaying the start of the 2020 football season with a condensed and interrupted schedule, games in the area were played without a pandemic hitch, if you will. Let's start in 11-player football with the Sioux High Blue Devils as they opened up their season on the road at St. Ignace on Friday night. And they earned a convincing 37-0 win over the Saints. John Robinson had four touchdowns for the Blue Devils and ran for 152 yards. Ryan LaPlante gained 148 yards rushing and had a touchdown for Sioux High, as the Blue Devils gained almost 400 yards of offense on the ground on Friday. You can hear the podcast of Friday night's game with Pat Bennon and Dave Watson on our podcast page, thegamesportshow.podbean.com, as well as Coach's Corner, heard this past Saturday with Dave Watson as he interviewed head coach Scott Menard. Again, you can find both those broadcasts on our podcast page, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Sioux High now 1-0 on the season. They will have their home opener this Thursday at A.J. Van Sitters Field as they will take on Tawas starting at 7 p.m. You can hear that game over on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson and Pat Bennon, starting with the kickoff show around 6:35 on Thursday. The Pickford Panthers opened up their 2021 campaign at the Purple Palace on Friday night, and they had no trouble with Gaylord St. Mary's as they topped the Snowbirds by the score of 36-6 in a game you heard over on our sister station, Country 105, with Matt Pocket in our EUP Game of the Week. Panthers quarterback Zach Harrison, he had two touchdown passes, while John Sullivan added two touchdowns on the ground to go along with 136 yards rushing. Pickford now 1-0 on the season. They will host Munising at the Purple Palace on Friday. In other games on Friday night in 8-player football, the Newberry Indians, they shut out Brimley at home by the score of 36-0. Indians quarterback Connor Rintamaki had two touchdown passes and ran for one, while Jacques LeBlanc had 85 yards rushing for Brimley. Newberry 1-0 on the season. They will visit Bessemer on Thursday night, while Brimley, now 0-1, they will travel to Roger City on Friday. The Munising Mustangs defeated the Cedarville Detour Islanders on Friday 28-0 in Cedarville in 8-player football. This was the first game under the Islanders moniker for Cedarville Detour. Now, they've been co-opting in football for a while, but over the summer, The school boards of both Cedarville and Detour decided to co-opt most of their sports programs, so they are now known as the Cedarville Detour Islanders. Kaysen Smith had 108 yards rushing for the Islanders and was 7 of 20 passing for 62 yards. Haas Sweeney had 4 receptions for 42 yards for Cedarville Detour. The Islanders will host Rudyard on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. in Cedarville, and you can hear that game over on our sister station, Country 105, in the EUP Game of the Week with Matt Pocket. One game on Saturday, fresh off their most successful sports season in school history, the Rudyard Bulldogs only basically picked up where they left off on Saturday as they blank Superior Central 52-0 in Great Lakes 8 East Division football action in Rudyard. Bulldogs quarterback E.J. Suggett, he ran for 3 touchdowns and threw for 1. Austin Warner and Cam Peterson also had touchdown runs for the Bulldogs, while Callan Lawler had a pair of touchdown receptions. Rudyard 1-0 on the season. As I mentioned earlier, they will be at Cedarville Detour on Thursday night. In other high school sports from this past week, the Suhai Blue Devil volleyball team, well, they had a very good week as they swept past Gaylord in straight sets last Monday night. Avery Benoit compiled 27 attacks, 4 digs, 3 aces, and 2 solo blocks for the Blue Devils, while Hannah Bird dished out 32 assists and added 7 digs. Faith White had 17 attacks, 5 digs, and 2 aces, while Claire Erickson had 14 attacks. And on Tuesday, the Blue Devils turned the tables on the Marquette Redettes, as the Redettes won the opening invitational tournament at Suhai a couple weeks ago. And it was the Blue Devils knocking off the Redettes on Tuesday night by a 3-1 count. Jayla Jorgensen turned in a team-leading 19 digs, while Faith White and Kendra Blair had 10 digs each for the Blue Devils. Isabella DeWilt had 9 digs to lead the defensive effort for the Blue Devils. Leading the offense for Suhai on Tuesday night, Avery Benoit, she registered 15 kills, 8 digs, and 5 aces, while Claire Erickson had 11 kills, 1 solo block, and 1 assisted block. Hannah Maurer was the leading blocker with 3 total, while White also had 6 kills. The Pickford Panthers, well, they started their season a week ago Saturday in the Pelston Invitational. After going 2-1 in pool play, the Panthers downed Central Lake 2-0 in their first bracket play match, and the Panthers would finish the tournament with a 2-0 loss to Sheboygan in a match to determine the semifinalists. Lizzie Story finished with 47 assists, 41 digs, 28 kills, and 3 aces for the Panthers in that tournament. Madison Thermos put together a team-leading 53 assists and added 31 digs, 12 kills, and 6 aces, while Lucy Bennon had 14 kills, 43 digs, and 6 aces. Kennedy Guild, she hit 22 kills, 22 digs, 4 aces, and 1 block, while Isa Franklin added 19 digs, 15 kills, and 6 aces. Suhai Soccer had their season opener last Tuesday night in Harbor Springs, and it was the Blue Devils winning that match by a score of 2-1. Gavin Harries and Jorge Juan Aguilet del Rio, hope I got that right, scored goals for the Blue Devils both in the second half. It was 0-0 at intermission before those 2 goals scored by Suhai. And so a great start to the season for the Suhai Blue Devil soccer team. Suhai Cross Country, they opened up their season this past Thursday at the Birch Run Early Invitational. The Sioux boys placed 4th and the girls took 5th overall, competing against a very solid field of 27 teams. And it was a hot one as temperatures were in the mid to upper 80s in that meet. Junior Cody Aldridge led the Suhai boys, taking 5th overall with a time of 17 minutes and 48 seconds. 5 seniors crossed the finish line next for the Blue Devils as Riley Evo was 17th. Jonathan Willis, 21st, David John Daly, 40th, Kyle Pine, 47th, and Kyle Jones, 54th. Clio won the boys' meet with 61 points, followed by Ithaca, Carson City Crystal, and then Suhai, as the Sioux boys took 2nd in the large school division. Junior Cassandra Gallagher was the pace setter for the Sioux girls, who finished 12th. She had a time of 22 minutes and 54 seconds. Abigail Walter was 23rd, Joanne Arbick 39th, Aliva Laurie 46th, and Dana Sable was 47th for the Blue Devils. The Blue Devils were missing three of what were to be expected of their top four runners due to various injuries. Frankenbuth would win the girls' meet with 79 points, followed by Reese, Ithaca, North Branch, and Sioux High. And the Sioux girls took third in the large school meet scoring. Sioux High is scheduled to compete at Ithaca this Thursday in their next meet. Lake Superior State University has announced that junior forward Louis Bedone has been named captain for the 2021-22 season. Senior forward Miroslav Muka, senior defensive Jacob Norquist, and junior forward Dustin Manns will serve as assistant captain for the Lakers this upcoming season. Bedone has recorded 46 points in 67 career games as a Laker. And the Grenoble, France native also appeared in 27 games for the Lakers during the 2020-21 season. Muka has recorded 22 points in 67 career games for the Lakers, the native out of Slovakia. Norquist, who will enter his senior season as the Lakers' active leader in games played with 102, has recorded 46 points in his career, and Manns enters his junior season with 16 career points. The Lakers will continue their recent success as the team join the reconstituted Central Collegiate Hockey Association for the 2021-22 season. And the Lakers will open the season on the road at Nebraska Omaha on Saturday, October 2nd, and will return to the Taffy Able Arena for the team's home opener against St. Thomas on Friday, October 15th. And you can once again hear all Laker hockey home and away over on our sister station, Today's Hits 99.5 Yes FM. And finally, before we go to break, the Lake Superior State women's volleyball team was ranked 6th in the fall 2021 GLIAC North Division Women's Volleyball preseason poll. This announced by the GLIAC this past Tuesday. The Lakers received 10 points in the poll to put them behind first place Michigan Tech, then Northern Michigan, Northwood, Wayne State, and Saginaw Valley State. And the Lakers, they're going to open up their season on the road at the Michigan Tech Tournament this weekend, this Friday and Saturday. They also follow up that with a pair of matches, actually four matches at the Wisconsin Parkside Tournament, September 10th and 11th. The Lakers will open GLIAC volleyball play on the road the weekend of September 17th and 18th. And their home openers will be on September 24th and 25th against Michigan Tech and Northern Michigan at the Bud Cooper Gymnasium. We're going to take our first break here on the game. We come back, we're going to talk more GLIAC sports with their commissioner, Chris Dunbar. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, ESPN 1400.
It's 2021, and Reed Metals in Dafter, your honest, main source, one-stop metal recycling business serving Northern Michigan, hopes everyone has a prosperous year. If you need a few extra dollars to help with your cooling bills or that trip you may want to take to the warm state of Hawaii, bring Reed Metals your unwanted scrap metals, and they'll print you a check. Reed Metals is paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Bring in copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals, and they'll print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals is your honest, one-stop metal recycling business. They also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com or call 906-632-0018. Bring it in or have it hauled, and Reed Metals will print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals, 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail.
At Old Mission Bank, we're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality. We're excited to announce that we now offer USDA home loans with options for 100% financing. You heard that right, 100% financing for qualifying USDA mortgages. Come see our experienced lenders to discuss your personal options and let us find the right mortgage for your needs, because it's what we do best. Act now to pre-qualify by calling us or apply directly online at omblones.com. We're Old Mission Bank, home of your experienced local mortgage professionals. FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
Summer, the change of seasons is sure to bring a smile to your face. Don't let your mood sour at the prospect of dealing with that unreliable mower for yet another year. Rely on the experts at Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service. Their highly skilled technicians can help. Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service takes pride in their work, and they know that an ounce of prevention can mean years of reliability. reliability down the road. Call them to talk about your service needs or stop in and chat with Paul and the gang today. Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, just off I-75, exit 373, Rudyard, Michigan.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux. Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on ESPN 1400.
6:15 on the game, ESPN 1400. Scott Nason with you, and joining us on the game, the commissioner of the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference and Sioux St. Marie native, Chris Dunbar, joining us once again on the game. Chris, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're on the road, and thanks for taking time out for our listeners to talk GLIAC, and welcome back to the game.
Thanks. My pleasure. Appreciate you having me.
Well, Chris, first question I have, and I asked this of Mark Yule a couple weeks ago when you had him on. You and him are in similar situations, albeit different, being a college commissioner and Mark dealing with high school sports. Have you been able to get some downtime this summer after a very challenging and at times, many times, hectic sports season last year? And how are you and your family doing?
Family's great. Thanks for asking. A bit of downtime in regards to not having to travel on weekends, but very, very busy, filled weeks trying to put protocols together and hopefully get our athletes off to a good start and do everything we can to play college sports in the fall. So it's a very busy summer.
Yes, it has. And Chris, one other personal question as far as your two boys. How are they doing, and what do their sporting seasons look like this year?
Things are good. Tyler just left. He's in Muskegon now. They start their camp, our camp leading up to their final cuts in the following weekend. And so he's excited to get back there and see what they can do this season. And Jay spent his summer doing a lot with Sioux High hockey, and he's all into hunting seasons coming up in various sports. So he loves to fish and hunt and do all that kind of stuff. So they both have had very good summers.
That's good to hear. And certainly fall is here, Chris. And unfortunately, COVID-19 continues to be part of our world and the sports world. And when we talked at this time last year, we didn't have vaccinations. Most sports had limited fans or no fans at all. As the GLIAC fall sports season commences, what is the conference looking at as far as COVID-19 protocols with coaches, athletes, vaccinations, and testing? I know there's probably about three or four different questions or answers you can give with that first question, but just kind of give us a snapshot on where the conference is as we enter the fall sports season.
Yeah, lots of different ideas with different institutions. That's been one of the complexities of the job, is trying to get so many different philosophies and institutions to kind of go forward with one particular protocol. And what we landed on in the conference is doing testing, weekly testing with unvaccinated students. Really, we call them tier one. It's anyone who is within that main bubble, coaches, managers, student athletes, anyone who's really associated traveling with the team. If there's any unvaccinated individuals in that tier one group, there would be a weekly test that they'd have to go through just to make sure that they're not testing positive leading into any GLIAC contest. But for unvaccinated, tier one, we don't have any testing requirements unless there's symptoms or they're showing some sign of having the virus. So there are some institutions already in our conference that have mandatory vaccinations at their schools. So, they don't have to test like the other ones do who don't have the mandatory vaccine requirement, but we're just going to move forward and, found with this virus, you just take one day at a time and see how things go. And if you have to adjust, you do that. And right now we think we're in a good place to get student athletes on the field safely, but we know there's going to be hiccups along the way just from going through last year. But We're just excited that fall sports are planned. We made it through last year and had our championships play. We're hoping to do the same thing this year, but we're just keeping our eyes open and trying to stay in front of everything. But we understand that we'll have to make some adjustments along the way. It's just how things are run, how things are going right now.
Yeah, certainly. There will be probably some pivots along the way as you deal with things that hopefully don't come up, but will. And, really for the protocols, it seems that it's being up to the schools or the member institutions, if you will. Does that go the same for attendance policy? Does the GLIAC have a set attendance policy as far as, capacity, mask, or is that really up to the local schools and their health departments?
Exactly. That's up to the local schools and their health departments. We have left autonomy to our institutions to vet that out. Last year we did a conference-wide no fans allowed. That was something that our presidents and athletic directors were much in favor of. Now there's so many different protocols within different, not even different states.
Right.
We are, dealing with multiple states, but different counties, that we are going to leave it up to the institutions. And that's what most other conferences are doing in Division II, to decide what's best for their institution in regards to fans at game.
Chris Dunbar joining us on the game, commissioner of the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. And Chris, going back to last season, the GLIAC was able to get most of their sports completed, including the championships. From a commissioner's perspective, what was the hardest part of what was a very challenging sports season? And for everyone, if you had to pick one of the most challenging or hardest parts of last season that you hope doesn't get repeated this season, what would that be?
I would say testing, trying to figure out, because everybody had different ways of testing their student athletes, and we didn't have a vaccination back then, so we were testing everyone.
Right.
And we as a conference needed to get certified to give the tests and to do testing. We were very fortunate, and we still are. We have a COVID-19 task force that's a GLIAC committee that we've put together, and they've been fantastic. They've been the heart of how we've developed our policies. We just had a call today at 3 to discuss more protocols going into the fall, but trying to keep up with all the different requirements in different states and different philosophies at different universities and how we should test student athletes for the virus, just to make sure that, we tried to mitigate as much as possible, that anytime we had a contest, there would be little transmission of the disease or the virus, but hopefully not having anyone play in that contest who could possibly spread the virus.
Chris, speaking of contests, the fall sports season is upon us, including football, which didn't start last fall, along with cross country, volleyball. From a commissioner's perspective, going into the matches and games, which I believe begin this week, how are the preparations going for those sports this season?
Really well. I think we have great protocols in place. Everyone's on the same page. Everybody's excited about playing matches and getting back to a bit of normalcy. We think we've put together a path that will lead to our contests happening, our student athletes seeing contests. We may have to postpone or do some things here and there, but we believe that we can get our seasons in and then host another championship and get back to a relatively normal season. So everyone's really excited. We're hoping that, knock on wood, we can have a relatively uneventful year and host another great championship and crown a regular season champion and a conference tournament champion like we have in past years.
Yeah, we're all hoping for that, Chris, for sure. And, from a league's perspective, obviously it takes a lot to run a league, including, those that work with you at the GLIAC, along with, the athletic directors and coaches from the member institutions. But it's more than that. It's the other people that are behind the scenes, athletic trainers. My wife, of course, is an athletic trainer at Lake Superior State University, and she's involved with testing and everything else. And so my question to you is, who are some of maybe the unsung heroes or people that don't maybe get the notoriety or airtime, if you will, on this show that make a conference like the GLIAC run?
Yeah, you're right. From an institutional perspective, those athletic trainers, they have gone above and beyond what their normal job description. Other duties as assigned took on a whole new perspective for athletic trainers last year, and we'll continue to do that this year as well as we continue to see testing requirements. But you know, those types of individuals that you kind of see on the sideline that are support staff, the game managers, trying to get through last year not having fans, this year having fans. Where do they sit? How do they sit? Do they have to wear masks? The people that get the phone calls that, you know, have to deal with frustrated fans and parents.
Yep.
And, you know, those are the people that just go home with headaches and they don't get any of the applause. It, from a conference standpoint, our officials, our assigners, our assigners are incredible. You know, they've had to switch games on a dime. You know, they have a crew going to one game and the game gets canceled on their way there, or they have to switch to a different, the assigners, I can't say enough. People don't know about, I didn't really even know about assigners even when I was at Lake Superior State working as an athletic director. You just kind of take them for granted. But now that I'm at the league level, those individuals really help us a lot and they keep the games going. If we don't have officials, we don't have games. So, you know, people don't think about those individuals very often. And I do appreciate what all the officials have had to do to work the games as well. It's hard enough to officiate, and we know how the officiating world is right now. Almost nobody wants to do it. Now you have to do it in this environment with all these testing requirements. So I give a lot of credit to our officials as well.
Well said. Chris Dunbar joining us on the game, commissioner of the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. And Chris, does the conference have a policy set for games this year that could be interrupted or canceled due to COVID-19 and positive cases? You know, would those games be rescheduled? Would they be forfeited, canceled? What's the GLIAC looking at right now for what we hope aren't too many canceled games because of this pandemic?
Yeah, first and foremost, we'd hope to reschedule, but we know in certain sports, it's impossible. You know, football is very difficult unless you can push it back maybe a day, but most of the games would try to get rescheduled, but in the event that they can't be, we would consider them no contest. So we're not instituting a forfeit rule this year. We would consider them no contest. Last year, we came up with a formula. That's a percentage, kind of what the, like maybe like a kind of an RPI ranking. Because we are anticipating that there will be different amount of games played in different sports with different with teams. So we have come up with this mathematical equation. We have this SID that works at Wayne State that came up with it, he and his daughter. It got us through last year. So we don't have to forfeit games. We're going to look at using this mathematics equation again to figure out who would be the regular season champion and then also to seed for our tournament. So it's not perfect, but our institutions didn't want to instill a forfeit policy this year and would rather see them be no contest.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Chris, a couple more questions before we let you go. Looking ahead to the winter sports season, Lake Superior State University men's and women's basketball team just released their schedule this past week. And last year, of course, the teams traveled separately, which made it tough for many schools, especially those that are short-staffed. This season for basketball, you're going back to the traditional men's and women's teams traveling together, playing the Thursday and Saturday. What went into going back to that decision?
Well, we had hoped all summer that was the way it would be. You know, we have a group, it's called the U.S. Council for Athletes Health, that we consult with, and then we have our COVID task force that makes recommendations. And we all felt that we were in a position to move forward with basketball as it has in the past, with not playing the same team back-to-back, that they could travel. We have more situations where the student athletes are vaccinated, but also we have better testing capabilities this year to test on the road than we did last year. I think we have a handle on how to test, and you know, if someone comes up who's symptomatic, what to do with isolation. I think we're just better equipped this year because of what we went through last year to handle situations that may present themselves. So we feel pretty confident that, you know, playing, it's not as high risk as it was last year to play the two different teams going into this year, as opposed to playing the same team and being able to travel together with the men's team. And some schools may opt to travel separately you know, it certainly is a mandate from us that men's and women's basketball teams have to travel together for games, but we do like to put the games as double headers. So it is a cost-saving measure for the institution. So we plan to bring that back this year.
Chris, final question for you. 11 member schools this season in the GLIAC, which is down one from last year with Ashland moving on to a different conference. Is the GLIAC actively looking for more schools for the conference? And if so, what areas, or even if you wanted to say schools, are you looking at?
We definitely would like to stay in our footprint. You know, we've expanded our footprint to encompass more area to look at other institutions. But yes, we are always open to looking at possible institutions who would be a good fit. And that's the key. They do have to be a good fit for our league. You know, I've been in the league for a long time, and we've brought in some schools that maybe weren't good fits. And in hindsight, it wasn't a great idea, even if you had an extra football game here or you could fill the soccer schedule. So, you know, it is important for us to bring in new schools, new institutions, but it also needs to be the right institution. So we are in the process of having some discussions, and we would like to see the conference expand. But again, it has to be the right fit for us.
Chris Dunbar joining us on the game, commissioner of the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. Chris, appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here in Sault Ste. Marie in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. And we certainly look forward to hearing more from you in the GLIAC as the sports seasons move on. Hopefully not too many pivots or roadblocks ahead. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Scott.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we have more local sports to cover, hockey-wise, coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, ESPN 1400.
O'Connor's Chrysler Dodge, Dodge Truck and Jeep in Pickford is your full-service dealership, servicing Pickford and the surrounding areas with pride for more than 50 years. O'Connor's top-notch body shop includes a state-of-the-art frame straightener. O'Connor's is also a proud supporter of community events. Its sales team has the experience to know which model is right for each customer. And with financing available to back your purchase, you can drive away today in your dream vehicle. Local people, local pride. Stop in today on M129 at O'Connor.
The last tractor you'll ever need is here. Get into a Massey Ferguson compact or utility tractor and accomplish more than ever before. These versatile tractors are known for their unbeatable power, smart fuel economy, and upgraded creature comforts. And with their ability to multitask through any job around the yard or farm, they'll provide you with outstanding value for years to come. Do all you need to do and more with Massey Ferguson compact and utility tractors. Visit Skinner's of Pickford to find the right model for your operation. Done being stuck in the house? Ready for some summer fun on the water? Stop by Central Savings Bank for that boat or jet ski loan. Don't want to be on the water? That's okay. Come see a lender about a camper or maybe a home equity for that cabin in the woods or a side-by-side or ATV. Remember, you can always apply online at centralsavingsbank.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Ask what we can do for you.
Whatever you're up to this summer, Central Savings Bank has the loan product to help get it done. Whether it's buying a boat, side-by-side, camper or cabin, tractor, a new house, or a ticket out of here, we can help. Call, stop by, or apply online at centralsavingsbank.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Central Savings Bank, ask what we can do for you.
It's 2021, and Green Metals in Dafter, your honest, main source, one-stop metal recycling business serving northern Michigan, hopes everyone has a prosperous year. If you need a few extra dollars to help with your cooling bills or that trip you may want to take to the warm state of Hawaii, bring Reed Metals your unwanted scrap metals, and they'll print you a check. Reed Metals is paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Bring in copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals, and they'll print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals is your honest, one-stop metal recycling business. They also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com or call 906-632-0018. Bring it in or have it hauled, and Reed Metals will print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals, 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail. You can catch podcasts of the game at thegamesportsshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason here on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to the game on ESPN 1400. Scott Nason with you. Coming up next, we'll talk Detroit sports with co-host Butch Davis, host of Butch on Sports in the Metro Detroit area. Want to thank GLIAC Commissioner Chris Dunbar for joining us on the game. We talked a little bit about the basketball season. Still a little ways away from that, but the Lake Superior State University men's and women's basketball teams have released the 2021-22 schedule. The Laker men will start exhibition play at home on Saturday, October 30th against Alma at 5 p.m. The Laker women will also be playing Alma on Sunday, October 31st, TBA as far as the time to start on that one. And then both teams will be on the road to start November. The Laker men will be back at home on November 20th against Westminster. Then they'll have a couple more games at the Bud Cooper Gymnasium before starting GLIAC conference play December 2nd against Wisconsin Parkside. The Laker women will also be on the road to start November. They'll be at home on November 21st against Ursuline, and they will also start conference play on Thursday, December 2nd. You can hear Lake Superior State University basketball all season long right here on ESPN 1400. Well, the Ontario Hockey League is requiring vaccines with training camps on the horizon. The OHL announced additional health and safety protocols, and they released an expanded vaccination policy that will kick in when the regular season opens on October 7th. The policy now covers not just players, coaches, and others, but all spectators and all other attendees at OHL events, including games and practices. According to the OHL, those wishing to gain access to OHL facilities of the 17 Ontario-based teams will be required to provide proof of vaccination against COVID-19 and follow any other safety protocols while in the facility. Children under the age of 12 will be required to be accompanied and supervised by a fully vaccinated adult and will be required to follow all safety protocols. We talked a little bit about that last week as well. The NOJHL, they have provided their vaccine policy for the 2021-22 season. As the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, along with the Ontario Junior Hockey League and Provincial Junior Hockey League, will require that all NOJHL, OJHL, and PJHL members be double vaccinated against COVID-19 prior to the start of team activities associated with the beginning of the 2021-22 season. This policy is to all players, coaches, trainers, team and league staff, officials, volunteers, and billet families. And just today they announced that effective immediately, the NLJHL, with the commencement of the 2021-22 exhibition and regular season, that's a good season, it's two seasons in there, will be expanding its current vaccination policy as it applies to members of the NLJHL community. This expanded policy will cover all spectators and other attendees at all NLJHL events, including games and practices. Those wishing to gain access to NLJHL facilities of the 12 base teams, and that includes the Sioux Eagles, according to the NLJHL, will be required to provide proof of full vaccination against COVID-19 and follow any other safety protocols while in the facility. Children under the age of 12 will be required to be accompanied and supervised by a fully vaccinated adult and will also be required to follow all safety protocols. So if you want to go see an OHL game this year, an NOJHL game this year, you better be vaccinated. So if you're still one on the fence about vaccines, you're not going to be able to go to the NLJHL or the OHL contest, according to both leagues, this season. The Sioux Thunderbirds welcoming the new policy ahead of the new season. Thunderbirds general manager Jamie Henderson, when asked about the new policy, says our players and staff have been great. They understand how important it is to get vaccinated, not only to keep everyone on our club safe and healthy, but just as important for our family and friends around us. That allows us to get back to normal a little bit quicker, and we can keep people safe and healthy. Then we're all for it. Editorial, that's a great quote right there. With the regular season set to begin in mid-September in the NLJHL and the U.S. border still closed to Canadians crossing over, it poses quite an issue with the NLJHL and the Sioux Eagles, as the Thunderbirds and Eagles are scheduled to meet at Puller Stadium on September 17th. But the U.S. border currently is closed at least until September 21st. And if you're trying to read the tea leaves as far as that border being reopened, it's not looking very good with the rising cases in Michigan and around the United States. And just today, the European Union is banning all American travelers to Europe. So not looking good for the Sioux Eagles. We'll try to get some information on our next show. We're going to be off next week for Labor Day, but we'll be back on the game on September 13th. Certainly, we should know something by then as far as the Sioux Eagles status in the NOJHL. I know a lot of people have asked me as far as what I think is going to happen. I'm hopeful, but right now, if you read the tea leaves, things aren't looking that good. Well, the Sioux Greyhounds started their training camp today with 55 players, including 14 veterans. The team has 6 overage candidates, including defenseman Billy Constantino and Robert Calisti, forwards Ty Cart, Alex Johnson, Joe Carroll, and Cole McKay. Earlier this summer, the team announced that 3 potential overage candidates, including Ethan Taylor, defenseman Drew Waro, and forward Cullen McNeil, had been placed on waivers. Of the 55 players expected in camp, 4 are free agent invites. And from the past 2 draft classes, 12 players from the 2020 draft and 13 from the 2021 draft will also be in camp. In addition to the veterans, the team has 8 prospects signed ahead of camp, including 2021 first-rounder Justin Cloutier, 2020 top pick Bryce McConnell-Barker, and import pick Kirill Kudryavtsevich. Also signed by the club ahead of camp are defensemen Connor Toms and Luke Brustowski, as well as forwards Tyler Savard, Jordan D'Antino, and Marco Mignosa. Camp is set to run throughout the week, with the team also set to host the Sudbury Wolves in an exhibition game on September 5th at the GFL Memorial Gardens. And finally, the OHL is going to use the lottery for top picks for 2022. After holding its first ever draft lottery this past spring, the OHL will bring back a scaled down version of the event to determine the top 4 picks in the 2022 draft. The policy was adopted at the league's annual general meeting of its board of governors, the OHL announced this past Thursday. The OHL will be introducing a lottery process to determine the order of selection for the top 4 picks of the 2022 OHL priority selection, the league said in a press release. The 4 teams finishing outside a playoff spot in the OHL regular season standings will have an equal chance of securing the first selection through a randomized draft lottery process to be held following the conclusion of the regular season schedule. The adjustment was developed in consideration of the unbalanced schedule being used during this year's campaign, and the league will revisit the format in advance of the 2023 OHL draft. Training camps set to open this week in preparation for the regular season, which will get underway on October 7th. And that is your local sports update. Certainly a lot more sports to talk about, and we will cover them all season long right here on the game. We're going to take a break. We come back, we are going to transition to regional sports, as we'll be joined by co-host of the game, Butch Davis, host of Butch on Sports, all coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, ESPN 1400.
At Old Mission Bank, we're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality. We're excited to announce that we now offer USDA home loans with options for 100% financing. You heard that right, 100% financing for qualifying USDA mortgages. Come see our experienced lenders to discuss your personal options and let us find the right mortgage for your needs, because it's what we do best. Act now to pre-qualify by calling us or apply directly online at omblloans.com. We're Old Mission Bank, home of your experienced local mortgage professionals. FDIC insured equal housing lender.
Summer, the change of seasons is sure to bring a smile to your face. Don't let your mood sour at the prospect of dealing with that unreliable mower for yet another year. Rely on the experts at Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service. Their highly skilled technicians can help. Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service takes pride in their work, and they know that an ounce of prevention can mean years of reliability down the road. Call them to talk about your service needs or stop in and chat with Paul and the gang today. Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, just off 575, exit 373, Rudyard, Michigan.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
O'Connor's Chrysler Dodge, Dodge Truck and Jeep in Pickford is your full-service dealership, servicing Pickford and the surrounding areas with pride for more than 50 years. O'Connor's top-notch body shop includes a state-of-the-art frame straightener. O'Connor's is also a proud supporter of community events. Its sales team has the experience to know which model is right for each customer. And with financing available to back your purchase, you can drive away today in your dream vehicle. Local people, local pride. Stop in today on M129 at O'Connor's.
The last tractor you'll ever need is here. Get into a Massey Ferguson compact or utility tractor and accomplish more than ever before. These versatile tractors are known for their unbeatable power, smart fuel economy, and upgraded creature comforts. And with their ability to multitask through any job around the yard or farm, they'll provide you with outstanding value for years to come. Do all you need to do and more with Massey Ferguson compact and utility tractors. Visit Skinner's of Pickford to find the right model for your operation. Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on ESPN 1400.
6:46 on the game, ESPN 1400. Scott Mason with you, and joining us on the game, co-host and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis, joining us once again on the game. Brand new edition of Butch on Sports from Sunday night, which you can find on his webpage, Simply Butch 2. That's TOO.podomatic.com. You can also find Butch on Sports on Facebook and, of course, on our podcast site, thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. As Butch joins us each and every week to talk about what's going on in the Metro Detroit sports world and the sports world in general. Butch, has it cooled down in Detroit, and how you doing tonight?
No, and I'm doing great.
Good answers. I hope you expand on some of the other questions that I asked you, Butch. But we got to start with the Little League World Series. You talked a lot about it last night on Butch on Sports. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks here on the game, as Taylor North, just down the road from you, sir, became the first team from Michigan to win the Little League World Series since 1959, as they defeated Ohio on Sunday 5-2 to capture the Little League World Series crown. Ethan Van Bell earned the win, and he got out of a couple big bases loaded jams as Taylor North scored 3 runs in the first inning, which proved to be enough as they become the first team since Hamtramck way back in 1959 to win the Little League World Series. Butch, I watched a lot of the games this past week, and it was certainly a lot of fun. Great to see the 12-year-olds and Taylor North get a Little League World Series title, something that is very rare here in Michigan.
Well, that was a long one.
That was a mouthful.
Sure, yes. These kids are very happy. You have a very big neighborhood of Taylor, Michigan, very happy with the particular situation. And it should be very well known that the parade I'm not supposed to say this, but the parade is Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. If you're listening to the show nearby, say hi and congratulate those tail young men who did the somewhat impossible since 1959, a Michigan team beating Ohio for one. And yes, we finally win the Little League since 1959.
Yeah, it was great to see. As you mentioned, the city of Taylor will be having a parade on Thursday. I believe that parade is scheduled for 6 p.m. And just watching, you know, some of those games, Butch, they didn't make it easy. Obviously, losing to Hawaii, they come back and knock off Hawaii to get to the final. And you thought that they had a pretty good chance against Ohio, a team that they beat in the regional championship. But these kids just didn't quit. And certainly timely hitting, good enough pitching, although they certainly didn't make it easy. It was just overall just a great story for not just Taylor and Metro Detroit, but all of Michigan.
Yeah, well, downriver don't quit.
You're right.
A lot of other things, but we don't quit. It's really a good thing that, you know, you get a bunch of kids together and they work so very hard to accomplish a goal that basically right now we're doing this to have fun, and you can have fun and win, but these kids have learned a lot in their discipline, and they've learned a lot in how they treat one another, and it's a good thing all around. So congratulations to this team and their accomplishment in Pennsylvania, because, again, we in Michigan will take some of the victory lap with them.
Yes, we will indeed. Butch, we talked about local high school football and some other sports that have started this past week, including soccer, cross country, volleyball. I know you had a pretty busy weekend with everything. How did week one down in the Metro Detroit area as far as high school football and other sports, how did things go?
Well, we haven't heard about any incidents that happened or occurred in any of the football games, volleyball games, or soccer games there. We did have a couple of cancellations there, and that was due to misunderstanding on wearing masks and whatnot there, and these were at volleyball games there. But other than that, full slate of football games. I think so far so good. I haven't gotten a tab on how the parents or the how many people were they are letting in from the games that I monitor and whatnot there. They was only letting in parents and maybe three friends, okay? And they were spaced out in such a manner, not a big crowd per se, and a lot of the games that I went to, but a nice little spacious crowd where enough noise was made that those kids knew that somebody was there to root them on.
And Butch, unlike last year where the governor and the health department put out mandates as far as masks and attendance, you know, and talking to Mark Yule a few weeks ago, we just got done talking with the commissioner of the GLIAC, Chris Dunbar, and, you know, these are up to the individual schools and, you know, county health departments. If things continue to go the way they are as far as COVID-19, as cases are rising, and not just across the country, but here in Michigan, I think just today we had 5,000 cases and almost 30 deaths. Do you foresee any sort of mandates or anything like that from the health department or the governor? It appears to me there doesn't seem to be the will to do that, at least right now.
Yes, I do. I do foresee that we're going to find a slowdown of some things there. Until the word mandate comes to being, I think the governor has the power to mandate for 28 days at least until the state representatives and the state senate get together to kind of decide what should be. The governor has that power, and I think she's holding a trump card until things just get out of proportion where she has to mandate to close things down in a manner that it has to be dealt with there. So, yes, I do foresee that. Again, we're recommending everyone, and myself included, that you wear your mask, okay? You can't lose out without not having a mask, okay? So wear your mask. And if you don't have a friend that's vaccinated, please try to convince them to get a shot and get both the shots or get the one shot. Or if boosters are necessarily available and readily available, please do that. But stay safe. The ones who have gotten the shot so far, they're not staying in the hospital long. The ones who have not gotten the shot, those are the ones that are being hospitalized. And the sad thing about it is the children are ones getting, right now they're seeing a whole heck of a lot of kids in the hospital.
Yeah, and with the return of school here locally next week, certainly a lot of parents, including myself, are a little nervous as far as how that's all going to go. And Butch, we talked earlier, and we talked last week about more and more leagues are requiring vaccinations. We talked about the Ontario Hockey League last week, more local here, the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. They're also mandating that fans that attend and anybody involved with the teams that get vaccinated. And so that, you know, it's getting tougher and tougher for those that don't want to take the vaccine. And there's certainly many, many people I know, friends of mine that just, they're not on board, but you know, employers, leagues and businesses, they're making it pretty tough for the unvaccinated. You don't want to get the shot, fine, but guess what? You're not going to see a lot of the stuff maybe that you want to.
But here's the thing is, you know, I think more and more businesses, and which you can as a business, and I'm having a church meeting right now, and one of the things churches can or cannot do, some say it's recommended, but you know, some churches really care. They say it's mandated you walk in here with a mask. Okay, all the schools in Wayne County and in Oakland County, if you're walking in the schools, whenever that time is available, you will be wearing a mask in before you leave out of that school. That's when you can take it off. Okay, so those are mandates right there and there. So I think a lot of politics, a lot of stupidity comes into play. You know, we're waiting for this organization to say something, that organization there. We got to do what's, you know, readily available there to keep ourselves safe. And one thing to keep us safe is wearing a mask, okay? So, if, you know, you can't question who's not getting a shot or nothing there. I wish they would. But let's all be safe and care for one another. And it takes a mask to do that. And a medical mask, okay? Not a cloth mask.
Right.
A medical mask. Let's do that so we can keep everybody safe.
And they're even starting to vaccinate, Butch. I saw this today. Animals at the Detroit Zoo. Apparently,
yeah. They started vaccinating the lions and tigers and gorillas and some other mammals there. Okay? They're doing it for special treatment for the animals there.
Yep, and apparently there was a rumor earlier that a group of penguins that were anti-vaxxers are refused to get it. That was fake news right there. No truth to the rumors. All the animals are taking the vaccines as they should.
Well, I heard Daniel Barboon said, not at my house, buddy.
Indeed. Butch, we're going to carry over this discussion to the next hour. We got about 3 minutes left. Let's talk about the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers, after splitting a two-game set at St. Louis, dropped 2 of 3 to Toronto. They had a makeup game today against Minnesota, and boy, the Tigers cannot score runs. They lose again by the score of 3-2. The Tigers now 62-70, pretty much out of it in the AL Central and the wild card. They're getting the pitching, Butch, but boy, they're having a hard time hitting the ball.
The pitching, the hitting, got to go and coincide if the Tigers want to win. And I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with the Miguel Cabrera situation where everyone's tense, including Miguel Cabrera. They're backfiring in their face to do anything at home. And so when they get out in the street, the guy is free as a bird and hit two of them out in somebody else's parking lot or something of that nature there. Then to come back at home to get this really big ovation and whatnot for Miguel Cabrera, you know. And, you know, after that, you know, the thrill is gone until maybe the 24th of September, and we'll find out how many people show up for that. You know, I think right now you got some kids that got to be pumped up to do some things that, you know, they were doing during the winning streak. We have had 3 good months of winning, okay? If it wasn't for April, we would be somewhere down the line in the race, but we're not. And I think that this is when the management staff can push buttons and whatnot, the pitching coaches, and all the other coaches to get to bring the best out of these kids and see how far they will go when, you know, they some guidance can be necessarily put to the pedal to the metal, because I don't see any guidance in some of these mistakes that these kids are making when they not running when they're supposed to be or not going this or that way when this particular play happen or whatnot, especially with the types of young kids, especially the running the bases. That's been atrocious lately.
Sure has.
And also they're trying to hit home runs when basically right now, just meeting the ball and putting bases in somewhere has more value, okay, than you know, them trying to sock it out of the park, which the odds say if you're doing that at Comerica Park, it's not going to happen for you. So, you know, this is now we'll find out where A.J. Hinch is going to go to bat and see if he can pump these kids up to do good during the down the stretch here.
Butch, we're going to take our top of the hour break. When you and I come back, we'll talk a little more about the Detroit Tigers along with Major League Baseball and cover the Lions, Pistons, Red Wings, and much more. All coming up on hour two of the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, ESPN 1400.
Done being stuck in the house? Ready for some summer fun on the water? Stop by Central Savings Bank for that boat or jet ski loan. Don't want to be on the water? That's okay. Come see a lender about a camper or maybe a home equity for that cabin in the woods or a side-by-side or ATV. Remember, you can always apply online at centralsavingsbank.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Ask what we can do for you.
Whatever you're up to this summer, Central Savings Bank has the loan products to help get it done. Whether it's buying a boat, side-by-side, camper or cabin, tractor, a new house, or a ticket out of here, we can help. Call, stop by, or apply online at centralsavingsbank.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Central Savings Bank, ask what we can do for you.
It's 2021, and Reed Metals in Dafter, your honest, main source, one-stop metal recycling business serving northern Michigan, hopes everyone has a prosperous year. If you need a few extra dollars to help with your cooling bills or that trip you may want to take to the warm state of Hawaii, bring Reed Metals your unwanted scrap metals, and they'll print you a check. Reed Metals is paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Bring in copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals, and they'll print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals is your honest, one-stop metal recycling business. They also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com or call 906-632-0018. Bring it in or have it hauled, and Reed Metals will print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals, 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail.
At Old Mission Bank, we're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality. We're excited to announce that we now offer USDA home loans with options for 100% financing. You heard that right, 100% financing for qualifying USDA mortgages. Come see our experienced lenders to discuss your personal options and let us find the right mortgage for your needs, because it's what we do best. Act now to pre-qualify by calling us or apply directly online at omblloans.com. We're Old Mission Bank, home of your experienced local mortgage professionals. FDIC insured equal housing lender.
Summer, the change of seasons is sure to bring a smile to your face. Don't let your mood sour at the prospect of dealing with that unreliable mower for yet another year. Rely on the experts at Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service. Their highly skilled technicians can help. Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service takes pride in their work, and they know that an ounce of prevention can mean years of reliability down the road. Call them to talk about your service needs or stop in and chat with Paul and the gang today. Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, just off 575 exit 370 Rudyard, Michigan.
Let's get to the second half of the game here on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader. It's the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Now, here's Scott Nason.
And welcome back to the game on ESPN 1400. You can also hear our show online by going to ESPN1400.net and podcasts of the show are made available right after the show on the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Scott Nason with you for hour two of the two-hour extravaganza as we're continued to be joined by co-host Butch Davis from Butch on Sports. And Butch, we are talking about the Detroit Tigers and their recent action on the field. You know, looking at the season right now, Butch, the Tigers got off to that horrendous start in April, but they've played a lot better since April. They currently sit 62-70, still over a month or around a month to play. Just overall, if you had to explain or just talk about the Detroit Tigers season, maybe wasn't as good as many people hoped, wasn't as bad as maybe many people expected. Where are the Tigers with you as far as just where they are at right now?
You want me to be honest?
Okay? Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to try to be as honest as I possibly can without hurting anybody's feelings. I think Detroit and the Tigers have a humongous good staff of young kids here. I don't feel, and I feel right now, you know, they're getting the tools that they need. It's very, very recommended, and it's also been very good for them. I think also the help from the veterans mean a whole heck of a lot to this particular team if they're going to go forward. And I haven't seen sometime I've seen it, and there's times I have not. If this team's going to go forward, we got to have some veterans to stand up, to push these kids along, to let them know that not only baseball is a fun game and a physical game, but it's also a thinking game. And I watched Casey Mize today pitching, okay?
Yeah.
And you can see where his concentration is easily drifts off when he does something wrong. And you got to have that confidence to go ahead on and put the pedal to the metal when things are not right. And I don't mean everything has to be perfect. In baseball, it shouldn't be in order you're going to fool your opponent. But I don't see that in the Tigers right now. Like I said, I've been very open to disagree how some of our young, good talent, our first-round draft picks have been dealt with. I think they should have been up. And right now, the way things are with the Tigers, this is the time to bring them up. This is the time to let them smell the roses, let them smell the outfield, let them know where they're playing at. The majority of their 162 games, 81 of them is going to be right in Comerica Park. If it's freezing or is it hot as I don't know what, or if it's just playing just nice. And it can be, you know, a great place to play a game. To get used to that, okay, and get some toolage from that. And I think the coaches kind of, I don't mean browbeat the kids, but show some guidance where basically some of the mistakes that they continue to make, they don't do.
And Butch, my concern as a Tigers fan is these young prospects that we're seeing on the team and in the minor leagues, these high draft picks, they're going to get developed and probably do pretty well, many of them. But can the Tigers keep them? I think that's the big question to me. I mean, how many players do you see playing in the major leagues that the Tigers couldn't keep? I mean, you could go down the list and with an owner, the Ilitch family, that isn't like the former owner, Mike Ilitch, who was willing to spend money. I feel like this team is going to have a problem when these guys get good. They're just not going to be able to keep them or want to spend the money to keep them. Is that the wrong assumption on my part?
Well, let me ask you this, Scott. If you know you're good and you're the top of your field, you're the number one draft pick, would you feel dejected if you're thrown back in the minors instead of being able to be competitive with those young men after you spent 4 years in college?
100%.
I would be insulted by that. Would you stay with a team that basically right now, they put my head through the fire and whatnot? And although I'm smelling like a rose, how would I deal with my future if this is the way this team is going to treat me?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, with the September call-ups.
When you're a top draft pick, that's supposed to mean something. That means you are the pick of the litter. some things that you're doing right now, and the majority of things you're doing, is top-notch to go out there and be, you know, be given an opportunity. And in baseball and in hockey, those two sports, you don't get them opportunities to come straight to the eye of the fire, okay? You don't get to come there. They put you through a motion. Very seldom, we'll mention a Bryce Harper. They didn't have to stay too long, okay?
Yep.
It was a hot skip and a jump, and they came right on up there. And I noticed the teams that do have first-round draft picks, when they finish their contract, how short it is, they desire to go somewhere else where basically right now they'll have a say in how they're going to, where they're going to live, how they're going to do things, and also get the guidance that they need to get better, not worse.
And with the roster expansion here in September, Butch, it's a golden opportunity to get these Torkelsons and others that are, you know, doing very well in the minor leagues. What's the downside for bringing them in? Are they that fragile that, oh my goodness, they might not do well and be scarred? I mean, these are professional athletes, and like you said, they're top draft picks. They should be up playing at least in September, in my opinion.
That's true, but again, you got a general manager here who has a lot of faith in some of the people that he's brought in right now to be able to play with the parent club. And I hate to say it, but we got a lot of kids out there right now not ready, okay, who are on the team right now.
Right.
Okay, and I don't want to put any names out there, okay, but they're obviously not ready. And you keep slapping them and bringing them up and whatever it may be, only to maybe do good in the first game they play. But when they give them a string of games to play, they're back where they was, okay? They're happy with that big meal money certificate that they get, to buy meals instead of the maybe $50 they get a day to play in the minor leagues versus when you're in the major league. You get as far as $250 a day just for meal money.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big difference, okay? And they may like them first and maybe that second week, but after that, then all the expenses that they get when they tips and gratuities and stuff that they get in their pocket in order to live very, very comfortably there.
What?
You know, some of them kids need to be down in the minors, and I'm just sorry. You know, Zach Short, as much as I like the kid, and I think right now he's the best shortstop that we have, his hitting is a time bomb. I mean, he is not a home run hitter. He's a slap-happy hitter who needs to be bunting more than he's looking for home runs. And it's not happening. We looked at a situation today where basically a bunt might would have tied the score.
Yeah.
Did we have any players willing and ready to try their skill at bunting or doing something that is not on the key list of what they're looking for out on the defense? No, we haven't done it for 3 or 4 games. And that's where a lot of people get very, very disturbed. When you're in the situation that you're in, when you're on second base, that is time that the manager and the staff got to manufacture runs. And we are not very good at doing that. In the middle of May and June and July, yes, we did very well. But we're back at our same old habits in the middle of August after the All-Star games where basically we're not doing those particular things. And right now it's hurting people. Akil Padue should be able to bunt. Hill, he has demonstrated bunting, but again, it's not on his agenda where people are in fear that he's going to lay the ball down and beat it out. They're playing them like, you know, try us, and they're not trying what the outfielders and the infielders are giving them, and it's hurting the Tigers in manufacturing runs.
Butch, if any of those folks need bunting advice, yours truly certainly had that in Little League, because that's the only sign I ever got when I was up to bat, including with 2 strikes. So if you want to point any of those players in my direction, I'll give them the best advice I can on bunting.
I sure will set them up your way, because that means they got the whole roster of 26 people to deal with there, 28 in September. So I don't know, but those are the things, those little things are why the San Francisco,
yep,
the Oakland,
yep,
the Tampa Bay Rays, Seattle, okay, who'd have thought? are still in the running. Cincinnati is another team that scares the crap out of everybody, but doing the job. They can't be like the New York Yankees, where you hit the stars and the moon, okay? Because
right.
That's, you know, one out of many teams that's doing that there. But again, those teams that I just mentioned, they're doing all those little things in order to make the doggone game very interesting, competitive, and again, they're winning the majority of them.
Good transition there, Butch, looking around Major League Baseball with a month left in the American League. Tampa continues to lead the AL East by 6 games over the New York Yankees, 8 games over Boston. Chicago, they have a 10-game lead over Cleveland in the AL Central, while Houston leads Oakland by 5.5 games. Right now, your wild card teams in the AL, the Yankees and Boston, Oakland 2.5 back, Seattle 4.5 back, Toronto 5.5 back. In the National League, really the only close pennant races that seem to be over there. In the NL East, Atlanta leads by 4.5 games over Philly. In the NL West, San Francisco, they continue to lead over the Dodgers by 2.5, while Milwaukee leads Cincinnati by 8.5. Right now, your wild card teams in the NL, the Dodgers and Cincinnati, San Diego, 1.5 out, St. Louis, 3.5 games out. And you hit the nail on the head right there with some of the teams you just mentioned, Butch. You know, they don't have the big money all-star players. And for a team like Detroit, they got to look at a San Francisco or Seattle that pretty much had the same expectations going into the season as the Tigers did, and they're right in the hunt. So you don't have to always have the high profile players and the big name money makers to compete, and we're seeing that this year in Major League Baseball.
That's true, and the park that you play in, number one, is not going to be conducive where everybody can be a Henry Aaron or a Babe Ruth, okay? You just can't do it. In order for this team to be successful, they're going to have to do those little things like a basic bunt, a hit and run. Those are the things that were brought up and being taught by our coaches at a young, early age, and they carry it, and a lot of those kids that we're watching now in Major League Baseball, if they carry that over and continue to do those things, they're making the rosters and they're being successful at it and they're helping the teams win. I've seen this year more no-name people that I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
Okay, the India guy from Cincinnati. Never heard of the guy. But you know what? It's the smallest thing in the park. And he's doing magnificent things when he's not hitting home runs. And he's had a few, okay? He's bunting the ball. He's working the pitcher. Got kids out there who are going after balls are hitting the dirt, okay, and swinging at it. That's not discipline. That's stupidity. And that's someone who's looking for a pitch to drive out in the field. And basically, in Comerica Park, good luck on that, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to fail at it. Ask Miguel Cabrera. Ask him how successful you can be if you want to try to hit home runs at Comerica Park.
Butch, one other Major League Baseball note before we go to our next break. The New York Mets' Javier Baez, who was traded to the Mets at the trade deadline, not doing very well since being traded to the Mets. He only has 5 RBIs in 16 games, and he has been booed a lot by Mets fans. And yesterday, during the Mets' 9-4 victory over the Cubs on Sunday, Baez kind of booed back, if you will, and gave a thumbs down sign to the crowd at Citi Field. What do you think about that? Players that get involved with fan interaction, he's not liking what he hears, and he gave a thumbs down a la Gladiator when Cassius or whatever the emperor was, he gave a thumbs down to Maximus. What do you think about Mr. Baez giving the Mets fans a thumbs down?
I have no problem with Mr. Baez expressing himself in the press conference, that he's very ashamed of the crowd booing it and booing the team when they should be trying to spur them on and cheer them up. You know, this is in New York where that's very much so impossible.
Yes, here. It is.
Okay, you know?
And Philly.
I had no problem with that in a press conference. I had a problem with it when he shows his rear end on the field, okay?
Yep.
That's the wrong way to do it. That he has to suck up. And any other player who does not like it, they have to suck that up. because those people, regardless of, you know, not they serve, you know, serving you a liquor bottle, you know, and it's empty, okay, and the bottle is a glass, okay, you know, he's got to suck that up. He's not only got to suck it up for himself because he's a named player. He's got to suck it up for his teammates to kind of get a little stronger there. Those people are expressing themselves. They pay their money to do so. We encourage that, you know, instead of getting violent or whatever it may be, like they do in Europe or whatever it may be,
yep,
where they beat them, trash the guy's home or got him on the field after the game is over. You know, if that would have happened, then Mr. Bias would have a different tune. And, you know, that's how things get started, okay, when it comes down to the interaction of the fans and the players. The players got to suck it up. So I don't condone him for doing what he did to the fans on the field. That stinks, okay? Now, if he wants to express himself that he dislikes it in the press conference, per se, yes, he has that field of opportunity to let him know that he didn't like it, he don't feel he like it, this is what I feel you should be doing as our home team, yada, 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 and go from there, okay? I think it would have been a lot more receptive from the fans than he'd go up there and stick his fingers up his nose or whatever the heck he was doing on that field and then encouraging other players to do it as well.
Yeah, it's certainly not going to quell the boos for him. I'm sure they're going to get louder and louder. And I agree with you. I agree with you, Butch. You don't want it to escalate any further because we've seen that far too many times. Butch, we're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to talk about the Detroit Lions as they finish preseason play. We'll also talk about the Big Ten as they will start their football coming up here in a matter of days. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, ESPN 1400.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Madigan Pingator, your independent Auto Owners agency on West Water Street in the Sioux.
O'Connor's Chrysler Dodge, Dodge Truck and Jeep in Pickford is your full-service dealership, servicing Pickford and the surrounding areas with pride for more than 50 years. O'Connor's top-notch body shop includes a state-of-the-art frame straightener. O'Connor's is also a proud supporter of community events. Its sales team has the experience to know which model is right for each customer. And with financing available to back your purchase, you can drive away today in your dream vehicle. Local people, local pride. Stop in today on M129 at O'Connor's.
The last tractor you'll ever need is here. Get into a Massey Ferguson compact or utility tractor and accomplish more than ever before. These versatile tractors are known for their unbeatable power, smart fuel economy, and upgraded creature comforts. And with their ability to multitask through any job around the yard or farm, they'll provide you with outstanding value for years to come. Do all you need to do and more with Massey Ferguson compact and utility tractors. Visit Skinner's of Pickford to find the right model for your operation. You can catch podcasts of The Game at thegamesportsshow.com. Now let's get back to it with Scott Nason here on ESPN 1400.
7:21 on The Game, ESPN 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of The Game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Butch, let's move on to the Detroit Lions as the Lions closed out preseason play on Friday night at Ford Field with a 27-17 loss to Indianapolis. In that game, Lions quarterback Tim Boyle got injured. Don't know the status as far as that injury, as David Blau came in for the rest of the game. Lions now will end their preseason at 0-3, but those games don't matter, at least as far as the wins and losses. And the Lions are prepping for their regular season opener at Ford Field on Sunday, September 12th, where they will take on the San Francisco 49ers. Butch, certainly probably not the preseason the Lions wanted to have. Just thoughts on that game. And as the Lions head to, trimming their roster, we do have some names already that have been cut, more on the way. What's your thoughts on the Lions heading into the regular season?
It would be very interesting to find out at 4 o'clock tomorrow at the press conference how Dan Campbell went about cutting the players that are not going to be on the team, and then again, from those players who are not going to be on the team, who he selected to be on the taxi squad, if there isn't some free agent or some person who got waived on their team, who they might pick up from elsewhere there. It'll be very interesting to see, because you know those particular deals are going to happen too. I'm kind of disappointed because I feel that our starting quarterback should have been out there on the third game.
Yep.
I don't care what his excuse was, and I'm talking about Campbell in general. Our quarterback should have been out there to take some reps. Normally when that has happened, when you're sitting up quarterback the last game of the season, you don't have a very the odds say that he's not going to have a very good first game. He may start off very good, but due to the length of the game and the time he'll be in there, he's not going to be very successful. And I know, you know, you're trying to hide things from other teams, what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, not to let your cat out of the bag. But again, there's some of them players that, you know, our starters needed the time on the field to just get used to things in particular. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this team come out the gun. They have in years past come out the gun pretty doggone good, only to see that season just drop like a little banana or something there, you know. So I don't know what to say, but again, I'll be very curious tomorrow at 4 o'clock when we hear Dan Campbell talk of the cuts he made and how this team is going to go forward.
Yeah, some of those cuts reported today, Butch, including former starting right tackle Tyrell Crosby, as well as wide receiver Brashad Perryman and cornerback Mike Ford. The Lions will announce, as you mentioned, at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, their 53-player roster. And Butch, quarterback Jared Goff says that they can win the division this year in the NFC North. Certainly the NFC North, maybe not as strong as past years with the turmoil in Green Bay. Minnesota, don't know if they made a lot of improvements, and certainly in Chicago, you know, Andy Dalton's going to start, but I'm sure you'll probably see Justin Fields in the second quarter of that game. Realistically, Butch, with what you've seen, this Lions roster, which we'll know more about tomorrow, do they have realistic expectations of a division title or even a playoff berth?
Again, Mr. Goff speculating what he thinks is going to happen. That can only happen if the team that he's playing on is going to put it together with all cylinders firing forward. And again, we have not seen that out of Detroit Lions. Although we got new coaching staffs and new feelings and all this hype in the world to make us believe that, you know, the positive things that Detroit Lions can do if that happens, I believe any team can go to the playoffs if those cylinders are all forward. What I've seen in preseason is just not giving me that good old fuzzy feeling right now there. And so I'm very interested again in finding out what Dan Campbell's going to do after 4 o'clock tomorrow, and also how this team's going to move forward and what plays that is going to be revealed that first game against San Francisco at home that we did not see or had to be secretive during the preseason.
Butch, college football began this past weekend with a handful of games, including in the Big Ten, where Nebraska, they continue to struggle under head coach Scott Frost as they fell at Illinois. Teams closer to home will start this weekend, including Michigan State. They're going to open up at Northwestern on Friday night at 9 p.m., and Michigan will host Western Michigan on Saturday at noon in the Big House. It was announced today that Cade McNamara will be the starting quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines. And Jim Harbaugh also mentioned today that his team is 99% vaccinated. So that's good news, in my opinion. Butch, certainly Ann Arbor and Michigan fans are expecting more out of Jim Harbaugh in his seventh season. He took a pay cut to come back for the Michigan Wolverines. Expectations maybe not the highest. And certainly at Michigan State, expectations are pretty low. What are you looking forward to this weekend as far as Michigan and Michigan State and just the season in general?
I they Harbaugh know what he has to do in order for this team, I'm talking about Michigan, to be successful? He has to have a little bit more involvement in those kids' development, in those practices, and a lot more involvement when it comes down to play calling and also defensive in the game. I think he's left that immediately to the coaching staff that he has. Some of it has not been too successful. We saw during the offseason that he's gotten rid of a few of those particular coaches and brought in new people. And hopefully that's a good thing. But he has to have his stamp on the people that he go into their homes, convince their mommies and daddies that they're going to have a very successful stay at the University of Michigan. In order to for them to be more successful is to see their kid in a winning program there. We have seen a scattered few hop out of Michigan and go somewhere else. And that's same with Michigan State as well. And then we've seen some to come from other schools to come up to Michigan there. So again, I think we got to see a brand new attitude, or attitude that Jim Harbaugh is normally conducive to do, because he's done it at Stanford, he's done it at San Francisco, he's done it at any place he coached at, and he's been very successful at it. He's just not been very successful at the University of Michigan, especially when it comes down to a team with scarlet and red, or scarlet and gray, down the road a piece. He has not been successful in that, and I think right now the wheels in balance is weighing up on those particulars.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, I think, for Michigan to beat Ohio State this year. That that school looks very solid once again.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, anybody can.
Go out there and coach the right stuff, do the right scouting, have the kids on the one. They can be beaten, okay? You know, any team can be beaten, but Michigan has not been in that pool where it comes down to having it together for when Ohio State come into town. They have always, Ohio State has their number.
As has Michigan State over the last few years as well. And as a Spartan fan, Butch, I love when Jim Harbaugh's coaching. I just love it. I take off my broadcaster hat for a second and put on my fan hat anytime Michigan State plays Michigan and beats them. It's just a good day in my world.
Sure, it's a good thing anybody's world when Harbaugh get beaten up there, you know? But because they haven't been beaten up too much, okay, in those glory years, and that's including their daddy as well. But again, you know, you don't get paid to lose, okay? Not like Michigan last year was a bummer there. And again, the pandemic had a lot to do with it.
Sure.
And that's for every team that's out there. But those other teams seem to find a way. And again, good teams find a way. And they don't make excuses in dealing with that. In Michigan right now, it's time for them to put up a shut up.
Butch, pretty quiet time right now for the Detroit Pistons. The summer league is over. Free agency has cooled down as the Pistons are in a slower period before training camp gears up the last week of September. As far as any Pistons news, anything to report there?
Well, reported it last night. If you want to be an NBA referee.
Yes.
You will be vaccinated when the season starts. As they announced that on Saturday, they reached an agreement with the National Basketball Referees Association that requires all the referees to be vaccinated for the 21-22 season unless they got medical or religious exemptions. I don't know how you get those, but by golly, we'll see how that works out for a majority of the officials there. But if you want to have a good job and get good plane fare and rooms and all the other perks there, you're going to have to be vaccinated. So that's really the big news. And a lot of leagues and whatnot are looking forward to doing that, being that the CDC now has already put their stamp on the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine to be somewhat effective, along with a booster shot.
Yep. If you don't want to get the vaccine, guess what? You're not going to be an NBA referee. And again, I think we're going to see more and more of this in the weeks and months to come. Butch, a couple other basketball notes. Bill Laimbeer, head coach of the WNBA's Las Vegas Aces, collected his 300th career victory on Thursday night. The former Detroit Piston, who I really like as a coach, and certainly he's doing very well in the WNBA. And certainly at some point, do you think some NBA teams got to start taking a look at this guy maybe to coach in the NBA?
Here's the deal with Bill Laimbeer. He's a very outspoken person. When he was with Minnesota, when Kevin McHale, his arch enemy, picked him as a coach, that team was very successful. From my understanding, again, this was from Kevin McHale, when I had a conversation with him a couple of years back, he was basically just tuning Bill Laimbeer up to be the coach because he was going to step down
right
and resume his duties with the team in an administrative fashion there. But that did not work out because, as you noticed, the New York Liberty had hired him, and he wanted to be a coach, okay? And he got tired of the teams just not looking at him there. I'm looking at the Detroit Pistons to be one of them teams that should be some things that I can't say on radio here because that is a damn good coach. And he has a system of accountability that is built into the teams that he has coached, and it's been very successful for him, for winning as well as championships there. The Aces was not far from a championship last year when the WNBA played there. He had three championships for the Sharks, and they might have went had a fourth one. But, you know, and some more if they continue to keep the team here. But I think that's the biggest mistake in town. Whoever, if he's not too old to coach, and it's such a thing as you ran your limit or whatnot there. And I do believe that Bill Laimbeer could do a heck of a lot of good for a team that basically right now is not doing very good at all. And for him to bring some structure in that particular basketball club, he would be perfect. And again, if the Pistons don't do good this year, and you hear me loud and clear when they don't, you know, I always said that, and I still always feel that the Pistons should have picked Bill Laimbeer or gave him an opportunity
to
come in there and coach the Detroit Pistons.
Yep, Butch, I certainly hope that is the case. I would love to see him behind the bench of the Detroit Pistons. Couple other basketball coaching news and notes, Butch. The Motor City Crews, the Detroit Pistons' incoming G League franchise, hired its new head coach. DJ Baker will be the Crews' inaugural head coach in their season, announced this past Tuesday. Baker has been on Dwayne Casey's coaching staff for five seasons, including the last three in Detroit. And former Detroit Piston Rasheed Wallace, he is going to join Memphis coach Penny Hardaway to coach the Memphis Tigers. How about that coaching staff in Memphis? Penny Hardaway and Rasheed Wallace? That seems to be a great...
Brown.
Yeah, and Larry Brown, exactly.
And Larry Brown, if you want to win, you can win.
Wow.
You get good people to do that. Again, the Pistons, again, losing sight. You know, and again, there's another coach that I can think of who won the Canadian Basketball Association championship 4 out of the last 5 years, and that's the team called the Windsor Express.
Yes.
If you have not heard that team, it is very well known in Canada. A guy named Bill Jones, who's a former player at Detroit Southwestern, he went to Iowa and was nothing but accolades down there. He's played professional basketball for the New York Nets as well as the Atlanta Hawks. He knows the system. He knows how to handle people. He knows how to handle players. I cannot understand for the life of me, for a man who lives in Detroit, is why they have not talked to Bill Jones. So, and you pick Dwayne Casey's buddy? What have we won with the Detroit Pistons with Bill Dwayne Casey?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's the problem I have. So I'm going to watch this again very carefully. You know, as long as you're somebody's buddy, you can get a job. So maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. Maybe I'm nobody's buddy or something.
Yeah,
I know one thing for sure. That'll be something I watch very closely too there. And I'm going to be very vocal. If the Pistons hear me, so be it. That, you know, we got to find some, we got good talent around here in this state. Why don't you use it?
Indeed, Butch. Again, I love Hardaway, Rasheed Wallace, and Larry Brown on the same coaching staff. That is absolutely, I know. And he's won. And that's the difference between. Yep, exactly. Butch, we're going to take our final break of the night. When you and I come back, we still have more sports to cover, including the Detroit Red Wings. We'll also talk some soccer, U.S. Open, and of course, one of our favorite subjects, wrestling. All coming up on the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show, The Game, ESPN 1400.
Done being stuck in the house? Ready for some summer fun on the water? Stop by Central Savings Bank for that boat or jet ski loan. Don't want to be on the water? That's okay. Come see a lender about a camper or maybe a home equity for that cabin in the woods or a side-by-side or ATV. Remember, you can always apply online at centralsavingsbank.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Ask what we can do for you.
Whatever you're up to this summer, Central Savings Bank has the loan product to help get it done. Whether it's buying a boat, side-by-side, camper or cabin, tractor, a new house, or a ticket out of here, we can help. Call, stop by, or apply online at centralsavingsbank.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Central Savings Bank, ask what we can do for you.
It's 2021, and Reed Metals in Dafter, your honest, main-source, one-stop metal recycling business serving northern Michigan, hopes everyone has a prosperous year. If you need a few extra dollars to help with your cooling bills or that trip you may want to take to the warm state of Hawaii, bring Reed Metals your unwanted scrap metals, and they'll print you a check. Reed Metals is paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Bring in copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals, and they'll print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals is your honest, one-stop metal recycling business. They also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com or call 906-632-0018. Bring it in or have it hauled, and Reed Metals will print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals, 10 miles south of the Sioux on Mackinac Trail. Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on ESPN 1400.
7:40 on the game, ESPN 1400. Scott Nason with you as we continue to be joined by co-host of the game and host of Butch on Sports, Butch Davis. Just a programming note for next Monday. It is Labor Day. We will not have a show next Monday. Our next show will be on Monday, September 13th, 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 1400. And I will be hosting Coach's Corner this Saturday for Dave Watson live from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur. You can hear that show around 11:05 on our sister station, 1230 WSOO, as we'll be talking to members of the Sioux Indians Hockey Club, as well as assistant coach for the Sioux High Blue Devil football team, Matt Johnson. Butch, we still have a lot of sports to cover, including one of my favorite subjects, the world of soccer. And certainly we had a couple big news items from this past week, including the debut of Lionel Messi, who was a substitute, and Paris Saint-Germain's 2-0 win over Reims. That certainly got a lot of people in France excited. And the big news of last week, Butch, is one of the other, many people will call, two best players in the world, Cristiano Ronaldo. He is heading back to Old Trafford and Manchester United as he made that deal official just today, as the 36-year-old will return to Manchester United. Certainly lots going on in the world of soccer. And the biggest story to me, Butch, Ronaldo back in the Premier League.
Yeah, And that's my team as United.
I know it is.
United, of course, there. You Chelsea guy. I tell you, that was some exciting news there. I wonder how much gas in the tank this guy got there. Can he come in there and light a flame, you know, at Old Trapper there, the way he used to do when before they gave him real money and stuff there. But this is going to be pretty interesting to deal with there. And how does, you know, I think Neymar is still on that team too as well there?
Neymar is actually on PSG, but they certainly have a lot of talent on Manchester United.
I got the two guys mixed up there from yesterday there. Yeah, because I did see him on the pitch, as they call it.
Very good.
Know, watching that particular contest on TV there last yesterday afternoon. But that should be pretty interesting. Now that, you know, the Premier League is going to take their week off to play other people, you know, around the world.
Yep.
And stuff there. So we'll get a little rest or break. You know, it's all about the Champions League, and that's really why Manchester went after Ronaldo the way they did there. You know, you win the Champions League there, you are somebody, okay? So I think that's where United and also Man City has to look forward to right now, is that they want to be part of that conversation, which Man City, you know, they've been close, but no cigar, you know. And I think right now they want to taste it again there, the Champions League, and that might get them over there.
Butch, the other big news in the Premier League is at the bottom of the table is usually the top five teams in England are usually up at the top of the table, including Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Tottenham Hotspur. But another team in London is absolutely reeling, Arsenal. They've yet to score a goal. They've lost three matches, Butch, and they lost 5-0 to Manchester City on Saturday. They were outshot 25-1. This just does not happen in the Premier League. One of the top five or six teams staring at every team above them, Arsenal, they're just having all sorts of trouble.
Well, it's only three games, okay? And again, you know, anything can happen. That's including seeing the coach sack, or as they call it in England,
very good,
what we call it in the United States. Until that happened, Arsenal got a problem there, okay? And I just think right now they don't have no fluid conversation with the coaching staff there. The way they have looked, you only got one shot in the game. I mean, the team bottled you up that bad? With 90 minutes, that doesn't seem possible, but it is, okay? Stats don't lie. We'll see some, if it keeps happening, you better believe we'll see movement.
And Butch, you mentioned the Premier League taking a couple weeks off as the international games will begin, World Cup qualifying for 2022, and that includes the U.S. men's national team, a team that has not been to the World Cup since 2010. They certainly look good this summer in winning the Gold Cup as well as the Nations League. They're going to play El Salvador on Thursday, then they're going to come back and play Canada on September 5th, and then Honduras on September 8th. You know, Butch, to me, Team USA has got to get through this qualifying stage and make a World Cup. If it doesn't happen this year, then this U.S. soccer program has a lot of problems. I think they have a good chance of qualifying, but to me, it's almost a must. They got a must qualify. They got to get to the World Cup next year.
Well, in the junk pile goes the men's soccer team for many years now, okay? I say at least since Donovan left the crew. They haven't been right since. I mean, they have not, period. They have lost a lot of young members going to overseas to play rather than play in the United States there. I think they're doing it the right way by going into the inner city and getting inner city kids who basically their programs are solid. They're getting a lot of young kids that basically right now, I think a lot of it has to do with their under 18 or under 19 league or 17 and under 19 league there. It's really taken off in the United States because there's openings, okay? There's openings to play internationally in the traveling league, such as the United States have. So at the present right now, they look better than they have in a long time. Now, when the competition gets fierce, and that means the majority of the world goes back home, okay, to service those particular teams that they're going to be representing in the world, that's when you will find out how tough the United States is.
Butch, the U.S. Open started today in tennis in New York. Players not playing this tournament include Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, Venus and Serena Williams. One of the big stories is Novak Djokovic, the world's number one player, favored to win his fourth U.S. Open and a potential Grand Slam. The question I have to you is, are you going to be watching any of this? The fans are back. The night matches are back. Certainly might be a little more viewing pleasure than last year.
Well, the viewing pleasure, I think you can't not but help watch it, okay? I think some things that's been done around the world, such as, for instance, the interviewing and whatnot process, they have been very lenient for the U.S. Tournament here in Forest Hills this year there. That's going to be a key. I think the other big key is that how well they can keep the players and, you know, how much they're going to manage the particular players while they're in town to deal with that beautiful game called tennis, and they stay well. And, you know, you cannot disagree with some players who don't want to participate because of sickness or illness or getting worse. Or, you know, in some of the players' cases, they have given excuses on why they can't, hamstrings, you know, their pet died or something. You know, they give them excuses not to be in there. So, you know, the world is evolving. Tennis is evolving. So that means one thing only. We're going to see a lot more younger kids playing in it, and maybe some kids that we never heard of take the lead in this particular tournament there.
Butch, the world of wrestling, very hot over the past few weeks. We talked about it last week in All Elite Wrestling, or AEW, as CM Punk made his debut, and rumors are rampant that we could see another big name from the WWE, possibly at the pay-per-view in AEW this week, which will be All Out in Chicago on September 5th. We could be seeing the debut of Daniel Bryant in All Elite Wrestling. And again, Butch, this just harkens me back to the days of WCW when you started to see some of these disgruntled or maybe just people that want a change of scenery heading into this organization. You know, AEW has put out a Friday night show at 10 o'clock, which I find amazing. Just All Elite Wrestling right now, we'll talk about the WWE in a moment, All Elite Wrestling right now doing the right things, in my opinion.
Doing all the right things, and to give the brand of wrestling that is not really taken in for the WWE, you either got to be a heel or a heel, okay?
Yeah.
In order to be successful in the WWE right now, there they want to kind of get all these pity matches and whatnot here, and is it in good spirit and favor of the old right and wrong routine that wrestling has dealt with for a very long time? That's gonna weigh itself big time there. I always like the way old man, I remember having the interview with Vern Gagne, okay?
Yep.
And when all those particular territories were all out there for the picking and whatnot, and he said like this, you know, when you got somebody good, you do your best to keep them and satisfy them there. You try to work with them, but you got to have a story to tell the fans when you go out there and give them a show. And it's going to be all about the show that AEW gives in order to make the WWE get more persuasive when it comes down to how they set up things there. I know one thing for sure, there's a lot more wrestling in the AEW than these put-ups or pick-ups, which I watched the other night. And we'll probably see tonight on Raw that half the show is dealing with interviews or trying to get these matches all pitted up there. So to me, it sucks because I like to see matches. I don't care if I see Joe Blow versus Mary Lou. I just want to see wrestling. I want to be entertained. I don't want to be entertained by the lip service that somebody's going to put up there. I'll get you shorty.
And I think, Butch, with the WWE, especially with Raw, 3 hours to me is just too long because so much of it is filled with what you said, interviews, backstage, and I would like to time how much actual wrestling they have in their three-hour show. It's got to be at least an hour, if that, and right now the WWE is, post-SummerSlam, they're setting things up for Bobby Lashley, who's the Raw champion, and of course, Roman Reigns. Good numbers with SummerSlam and buys and people watched it, but WWE, to me, they got a true competitor in the AEW and even some of these other organizations.
Well, again, the AEW has, like I said on my show last night, they have Impact Wrestling to fall on there. To kind of piggyback some of the stuff they're doing. They're doing a tremendous job by showing a lot of wrestling on YouTube.
Yep.
Okay, and AEW Black, which is another popular show on YouTube that's shown on Monday nights that a lot of people don't talk about unless you're in the know of being on social media or you hear it maybe on AEW that these particular shows go out and do. Sometimes you got to look at their website in order to find out how much wrestling they got are making available to the general public, and which is a lot, okay, that they're doing. So, which again, if you don't have Peacock, and that's the advantage if you have Comcast cable, you get to see all those matches in the WWE, okay? You're not going to see them. Now, they got a pay-per-view this weekend, say AEW do.
Yep.
So I don't think that's on national TV. That's a strictly pay-per-view. But they do show some type of headline match, I think, on YouTube channel there, per se, before the matches start. But, it's just a little bit more exciting. And, again, I see a lot more wrestling on those ensembles than I see with the WWE, especially with the time, a lot of time they're given. 2 hours on one night and 3 hours on another.
Butch, let's get to our thumbs up and thumbs down for the week. We got about 5 minutes left, so I will start and certainly double thumbs up to the Little League World Series champion, Taylor North, a group of 12-year-olds that did what no Michigan team has done since the Eisenhower administration back in the 1950s, winning the Little League World Series. Certainly a feel-good story of the summer to me for not just the people in Taylor and Detroit, but all across the state of Michigan. I know a lot of people at work today that I work with that were talking about watching that game, and it certainly was a lot of fun. So thumbs up to those individuals, coaching staff, and all that made them Little League World Series champions. And thumbs down, I feel like this is going to be a trend, but thumbs down to the Detroit Lions and their preseason. Certainly the results on the field, inconsequential, but I just don't have a lot of hope for this team. I'm a pretty disgruntled Detroit Lions fan. I don't get attached to this team. Sometimes for our show, Butch, it's almost a better show when the Lions are struggling. Maybe things are going to be different with a new administration, a new coach, and they breaking kneecaps and biting off knees or whatever they said. But I just think this is in line for a 4-12, or I should say 4-13, because there's one more game this season. I don't have a lot of hopes for the Lions. I hope I'm wrong, but history certainly is on my side. Butch Davis, your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week.
Oh, God. Poor Detroit Lions. Yeah, I already spoke my piece on the Detroit Lions there, but I'm going to use the Detroit Tigers with their thumbs down there. They got to do a better job of manufacturing runs there. kicking people out in the street is not the way to do it. I think the A.J. Hinton management staff is going to have to get a lot more engaged with those younger players if those younger players are going to be a part of the team, which we know some of them are not going to be back here, boys and girls. I don't want to mention any names when they get close to the season. Oh, yeah, I will mention a lot here. But, again, right now, I'm going to give them an opportunity to dance and do what they need to do. I know Renato Nunez and some others are finding other jobs elsewhere there. My thumbs up, again, is definitely for the Taylor World Series winners there. They made it very, very nice to have some good things going on. And then we get to see a parade, you know?
Yeah.
I hopefully they'll do it. And a manual place they'll probably be dealing with on Telegraph Road or one of the particular side streets like Eureka or North Line Road there. Well, again, congratulations to them and their coaching staff. And also their parents who went through a lot. But again, they had the makings of a champion. They're a memory that they can never forget.
Absolutely. Butch, before we sign off, what's ahead for your show, Butch on Sports, this week?
What we didn't do last week. We covered a little bit of little high school football there. We didn't get into that because a lot of other things we had to talk about there that has made a lot more sense. But we will dig into the Downriver League and some of the other leagues that are basically right now. And also how this pandemic is fitting the needs. And I'll be talking to a couple of athletic directors in the next 2 days to find out how's it going when it comes down to crowd functioning there. And some schools are very tough about who they're going to let in, and other schools are saying, have at it, we want your money. So we'll deal with that there and, you know, pick some things on out there.
Looking forward to that indeed. Butch Davis joining us on the game. Butch, have a great Labor Day, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time for our next edition of the game.
All righty now.
All right, that's going to do it for tonight's show. I want to thank Butch Davis and our special guest, Chris Dunbar, Commissioner of the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Association. You can find podcasts of our show in a few minutes on the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. That's going to do it for this Monday night edition of the game. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time for our next edition of the game here on ESPN 1400.
Thanks for listening to The Game here on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader. Check us out next Monday at 6 for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. You can hear the podcast of the show and other broadcasts at thegamesportsshow.com.